No playing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to D20 Dudes, a tabletop role-playing podcast where the die decides our topic. I am Dylan.
I'm Bartlett.
What is with you and the trend of, like, just assuming Bartlett's identity in everything you do?
I am him, and I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, Sturlock.
Yep.
Sturlock Gnome is the winner of the wrestling championship. Today we're going to be talking about Clan Bruja of Vampire the Masquerade. Bruja is a fun name. It's a fun word to say. Say Bruja.
Bruja.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. It's a fun time. This is my favorite clan. These are, like, almost every clan, every character I've made for Vampire the Masquerade, whether I was actually going to use it or I was just, like, screwing around and making characters, has been of Clan Bruja, with the exception of one Clan Gangrel character. Can you possibly think of a reason why I would like them so much, my friend?
Man, I'm pretty sure I knew what they did at one point, but I don't know. It sounds like they're the party crowd.
They kind of are. They are the vampire clan of fuck the police.
Yeah, tracks.
They're super anti-authority. They're like street thugs and biker gangs, but also a little bit more than that. They hate authority, but they have the vampiric discipline of presence, which kind of makes them uniquely suited to also stand as an authority. And they also have a combination of the celerity and potence disciplines, which means they can get into a fight quick, they can beat a lot of ass, and they can get back out of the fight super quick.
Would you say that this is the clan with the biggest belt buckles?
They most certainly have the biggest. Hulk Hogan would have been Clan Bruja.
Okay, very cool.
Not Dwayne Johnson. Dwayne Johnson would have been Clan Ventru, but definitely Macho Man Randy Savage would have been Clan Bruja.
Oh, yes, they've definitely adapted the snap into a Slim Jim is their, clan motto.
Clan Bruja, snap into a Slim Jim, yeah! So for a bit of history on them, the Bruja Antediluvians, so, like, we don't know the names of most of the Antediluvians, which, for a little bit of reminder, we haven't talked about Vampire in a while. The Antediluvians would have been the people directly embraced, not by Cain, but by his childer. Like, the people who came from Cain then made the third generation of vampires, and those are the Antediluvians, which are seen as, like, the heads, the progenitors of all of the known vampire clans today. We don't know most of their names, but there are some sources that say the Antediluvian for Clan Bruja was named either Ilias or Troil the Elder. But most of the time when modern people are going to be talking about the Antediluvians for a given clan, they usually just use a clan name, so they would have said he's Bruja. But go ahead.
This isn't so much about the Bruja clan, but do they know, like, you say that they don't know two tiers down from Cain. Do they know who directly from Cain is?
Nope, because they were specifically wiped out by the Antediluvians.
Okay.
They were all diablerized by their children. Supposedly it was because they were just horrifically cruel, which tracks for what we know of the Kindred in Vampire the Masquerade.
Yeah.
So maybe it's the case, maybe it's not. Maybe they just killed them because they wanted to be super strong. I mean, so because they diablerized their progenitors, this basically makes them second generation, at least at that level of power, but they were not themselves directly embraced by Cain.
Gotcha.
The major difference. So the original Bruja was well known to be just coldly dispassionate and fiercely logical. He was a thinker. He put thought before emotion every time. And every kindred he embraced sort of embodied this aspect as well, as these things kind of tend to happen. Whenever a kindred embraces somebody, they tend to take on those clan aspects. So this was the original clan aspect of Bruja, being cold and calculating and being able to put logic before emotion in all cases. But he had one child that was very brash, very hard to control. He was a troublemaker. His name was Troil the Rebel. And he diablerized the original Bruja and became the new clan Antediluvian and created what is commonly known as today's clan Bruja. There are supposedly a few of the original true Bruja left, but you will almost never see them because they are so few in number. The true Bruja, at this point, either built or co-opted the Phoenician colony of Carthage. And by their telling of the events, Carthage was supposed to be this incredible utopia where the kindred and the kine lived in harmony. The kindred would never murder anybody for their blood. They didn't sneak around. Like, blood, a lot of the time, was just freely given to the kindred as kind of a payment for the fact that, you know, we have these incredibly powerful supernatural vampires that dispense justice for us. So if there's criminals, you know, we don't have to worry about that dude with the sword down the road who murdered his wife because he has a sword. A vampire's going to come and take care of that pretty quick. So it was known as this place of incredible justice, where it was supposed to be just this place where the kindred and the humans would, like, know each other, be aware of each other, socialize, and be a single cohesive society. Well, other clans tell of it differently. Specifically, the Ventru will tell you that Carthage was this city of blood where the Bruja made these blood sacrifices to Moloch, where everybody worshipped horrible demons, and if the blood sacrifices just happened to fall down the gullet of a waiting vampire, then what does he care? The person's still dead. And it was this horrible place of debauchery and debasement, and everyone's getting murdered left and right, which, you know, I don't think that a society like that tends to last very long when everyone's getting murdered all the time. So maybe, well, that's not quite the case.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they just farm it out, you know what I mean?
It's like the Matrix, they keep them in pods.
Or they just, like, roll in somebody from, like, an Amazon warehouse who's just, like, kind of done with life anyway.
This is a great vintage. They kick open the barrel and there's just some dude in there.
I've been in there for 74 years.
Shut up! And they drink him.
They injected me with pine salt. Said it'd make my my blood taste good.
Pine salt?
I can't feel anything. Yeah, man.
They injected me with floor cleaner and said it would make my blood taste good.
Yeah, man.
What? What the fuck is pine salt? As it doesn't get invented for another 1,500 years.
Yeah, it's fine. It'll make you immortal if you inject it.
It's like drinking the paint water, man.
Yeah, also don't do that.
Yeah, don't inject pine salt. D20 Dudes does not endorse injecting pine salt, especially not as a cure for COVID.
Yeah, for whenever you really take off and people are watching your old shit. Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, whenever this, when this podcast blossoms into the television show it's destined to be. Oh, man. So Carthage fell during the Third Punic War to the Romans, who were aided by Clan Ventru and Clan Mokavian, and basically just became a burned-out husk. They found all of the Bruja who were there, staked them if they could, killed them, left them out in the sun. They salted the earth so that none of the vampires who were under the ground and melted with the earth to sleep could come out. They were just trapped under there forever. And
what does that
essentially
do?
What does salting the earth do?
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't based on, like, specific beliefs. But, yeah, it's like they salted the earth to make it barren. And then some vampires, even though this isn't one of the clan disciplines, they can learn things from other disciplines if they try hard enough. There's an ability where they can kind of meld into the earth to be protected from the sun while they rest.
Okay.
But supposedly salting the earth will prevent them from being able to rise back up.
Okay. Gotcha. I knew that they had like the, I forget what it is, but like whenever you're doing the character creation, you have like the like mythological weaknesses that vampires have, and it's like, oh, for the most part, like that's not real. And so it kind of sounded like that was in the that's not real territory, but it was working. So that's interesting.
Yeah, it's a big emphasis on the for the most part of that sentence.
Okay.
So after Carthage fell, Bruja, they were still pretty powerful. During the Dark Ages, they were actually one of the high clans. And they were well known to be like warrior scholars. They practiced this form of Greek philosophy that meant that to be a true enlightened person, you had to seek perfection of both body and mind. So they would train physically, they would learn the sword, the spear, whatever weapon of choice, but they would also study to be very erudite. They were not the kind of street thugs that people see Bruja to be today. They were warrior poets, warrior scholars, big cool boys who were shonen protagonists and isekai protagonists who had the special cheat skills that could make them win at every encounter except your political ones.
You're really like making this sound like the I could be your angel or your devil meme.
That's kind of a lot of what Vampire the Masquerade is. And that's kind of why I love it so much, because it's like really dark and really edgy to the point where it's like, I am so tortured. I am this being of the night, and I must feast upon my former friend in order to survive. It makes me such a monster.
Yeah, I mean, every time you talk about it, it's just like, oh man, like they're wearing at least two belts.
At least. Their pants are probably like three pants. But ideological differences in kind of like this scholarly pursuit and this warrior pursuit kind of started leading to these schisms and infighting within the clans that during the Victorian age kind of hit like ahead, because this is when the Camarilla was formed. Many of the what are now called the learned clan amongst the Bruja came to hate the majority of their clan, who, as the clan kind of prospered, they didn't have the time to train and find these scholarly pursuits, and they just kind of became the thugs that we know today. And they hated the Camarilla. They hated Camarilla rule. They did not want to be a part of it. And so they rose up in rebellion against it. And they got labeled troublemakers and lawbreakers, and many of the learned clan, as they call themselves, started trying to put them to the death, but there were just too many of them, and then many of them fled across to the Americas and various different parts of Europe. And those became the most common types of Bruja you see today. In the modern era, Clan Bruja is a major force in that they basically created and spearhead the Anarch faction, who hate the Camarilla rule, who think that all of these rules and supplications you have to make to the elders are a bunch of horse shit, that vampires are vampires and should be able to live the way that they feel like they should live instead of having to follow all these weird edicts and special rules and fancy lad rituals and things.
So are there Bruja that are a part of the Camarilla, or is it like when the clan decides no, then there are none?
Yes. So there are some basic, like, you know, the Camarillas consists of the Ventru and the Toreador and the Tremere, and the Anarchs have Bruja and the Gangrel and so on and so forth. And it is like largely that, because the clans have kind of like this bloodline thing going on where when someone embraces you, you kind of take on that same mindset. But that isn't always the case. Like, you are still, in essence, the person you were before you were embraced. And that means if you are strong enough and willful enough to subdue the beast and kind of change what the ideological things you should be pursuing are, then you can kind of create a separate sub-bloodline. whether that becomes like a whole thing or whether it's just like a small group of people is really like situation to situation. But yeah, there are some Bruja who are part of the Camarilla because they are more subdued. They realize the need for control amongst the vampire population rather than this like fearsome kind of directionless rebellion. It really depends on the individual whether or not they will fall in with the rest of their clan and the particular movement that they find themselves aligned with, or if they're going to go their own way and maybe join a different movement or try and be independent from all of it.
So do they, you say that they, you kind of like take on the personality of the clan, just which feels super like 40k-ish with like the gene seed stuff, by the way, but like do that just happens with anybody, right? Like, they don't necessarily seek out humans with, like, those characteristics already kind of, like, pre-baked in. So, like, if you get, like, a super nerdy accountant, get embraced by, like, a Bruja, then, like, he might go through midlife crisis pretty hard.
So this is actually a big chicken and egg situation. Because embracing somebody into your clan will, more likely than not, cause the clan's compulsions and banes to manifest in them and shift their personality to be more in line with the clan. But as you said, yes, the clans also do tend to seek out and embrace people who already display traits similar to what they display anyway. So are they simply reinforcing themselves? Is it just like attracts like? You know, who knows? But it also depends, like, on the individual who they're going to embrace. The Anarchs tend to be much less picky about who they embrace, whereas the Camarilla, they have very strict and stringent rules about being able to embrace and all that kind of thing.
Okay.
But the Toreador are notably very picky about who they will embrace. Like, they're known as, like, a clan of beautiful people, artists, and innovators, and if you are not beautiful or an incredibly good artist or musician or have some great innovation that you're working on, you just will not get embraced by the Toreador. They are super picky.
Huh. That's mean girls, man. That's
it, yeah, it really is. But yeah, so the big things the Bruja are known for today is, like, one, the Anarch Revolt is largely their thing, even though many other clans think, like, I believe the Gangrel have largely thrown in with the Anarchs. There should be one more, but I can't remember what they are off the top of my head. It's been a while since we've done vampire stuff.
So, I need you... You said they were the Toreador?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need to add something to the list of topics. We gotta spitball, like, kinks in the Toreador, like, clan, man. Because, like, beauty is pretty subjective. I gotta know, you know what I mean? It's just like, oh, like,
I need you to understand, Zach, that this actually is covered in the source books.
All right, well, huh.
The fifth edition World of Darkness source books have been just a source of endless joy for me. Like, I showed that picture the other day of the werewolf, like, composure thing, where it's like, if you have a 5 in composure, you probably wouldn't have spent $44 billion on Twitter.
Yes.
Oh, man. They fire shots, and they don't care. Holy fuck, man. Like,
that's really interesting. That's... Yeah, sorry. I'm not trying to make it not about Bruja, but that's just a really interesting factoid. I just don't know. It's like, oh, if you're not beautiful. Because on the one hand, like, how cool would it be to be like, oh, I got accepted, that means I'm beautiful. And then on the other hand, it's just like, somebody gets in there, but they didn't know what they found beautiful. And it's like, oh, really, man? Like, I don't know about that. And it's like, hey, eye of the beholder, man.
You embrace me because I specifically have two buttholes? Come on, man.
I mean, like, that, yeah, I mean, if I'm Toreador, for sure.
Zach, I firmly believe you would be
not Zach, by Spartlet. Andrew.
Sure. So the Anarchs these days in the modern era are known for the Anarch Free State, which was just California. was supposed to be like a safe haven for the Anarch movement. It was supposed to be a place where you would go and you could just be a vampire however you wanted to be a vampire. The rules were very loose. There were a few, like the Masquerade is one that even the Anarchs have to admit, like, yeah, without the Masquerade, we'd probably all be hunted down and killed for sport. So maybe we uphold that. But embracing like all these like how do you do's and curtsies and bows you have to make whenever you're entering different territories and like subjugating yourself to these different lords and ladies, they just did away with all that shit because they thought it was a bunch of fucking horseshit. And for a while, they even had like actual Bruja roving biker gangs that went town to town dispensing justice Wild West style, which I think is equal parts awesome and hilarious.
I'm gonna be honest, whenever I hear the phrase Bruja, I mean, that's the image that it conjures up, so I'm glad that it's consistent with expectations.
Yeah, like, I'll have to show you some pictures in the book at some point, because, like, they look like what you expect them to look like. It really does.
I just think biker gang. I mean, no joke,
that's what a lot of them look like. In fact, if I ever convince you to watch Hunter the Parenting, which is the guys who made If the Emperor Had a Text-to-Speech Device, they started moving into a World of Darkness thing after Games Workshop did their whole poor shit.
Yeah.
They have a Clan Bruja antagonist in their first arc, and he is just the biggest, fattest biker you've ever seen. And he's so funny. But the Anarch Free States eventually did get pressured by the Camarilla, and then they got invaded by these Quajin, which are like these like Asian vampires. We'll talk about them at some other time, because there's a lot to go into down the Quajin rabbit hole. And then one of their own eventually betrayed them, trying to gain power and favor within the Camarilla, which basically caused the Anarch Free State to collapse. California became Camarilla territory once again. The other thing they were known for in modern eras was they basically tried to be the Soviet Union shadow government.
Okay.
Yep, Clan Bruja just kind of decided they ruled all of Russia. And who the fuck's going to stop them? Well, Zach?
Probably the Germans.
The Baba Yaga stopped them.
Oh, what? is the Baba Yaga an entity, or is it... Like,
so Baba Yaga in World of Darkness is a Nosferatu who was embraced by their antediluvian, and she is incredibly powerful. She awoke from torpor after some like 7,000 years and decided, all these Bruja boys coming into my territory, mm-mm, and basically banished all of Russia to the Shadow Realm for a night.
Okay.
And used that time to murder just about everybody. It wasn't until they finally managed to kill her that they pulled Russia back out of the Shadow Realm, only to find out that Russia's basically fucked. Like, the vampire culture in Russia is, even to this day, basically dead because of how much damage she managed to do.
So that's really interesting. Like, I'm surprised that they made Baba Yaga, like, a vampire versus just her own thing. I think it's cool. You know, a lot of plays are just like, she's a witch.
Yeah, you know she's a canonical entity in the Pathfinder lore?
Yeah, I think so. I think I knew that because of a spell, but yeah.
And she frequently travels between Galarian and Earth, isekaiing random Earthlings into Galarian.
Oh. Huh.
Right?
Could you... How sorry would you... I mean, given how... hours and how people on the internet talk about their players, how, like, so I mean, like, let me put it a different way. If all of the characters that we collectively as the human species have created were real people in a different fantasy universe, and there was an entity taking real humans and putting them with those characters, oh man, that'd be rough. Like, you'd have, it's just a bunch of edgelords in like fodder. Like,
I really only need to say one name, and it is Gromlech Lefram.
Yeah. 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 Could you imagine, like, if you, you know what I mean, like, djinns are real, and, the, you know, it's just like, oh, I wish all of my fantasy characters were real, and then it's just like, Krom is just in the real world at that point. And it's like, oh, man, that really sucks.
You do have real sexy boots, though.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question for you. I had kind of said that some of this stuff sounds a little 40K-ish. So, I think I know what you might say, but maybe not. Maybe there's like a Space Marine chapter or something. Who in 40K lore do you think, I mean, either, it doesn't necessarily have to be like a race. It could be like a sub-faction within a race. But who do you think most closely resembles the Bruja in 40K?
Orcs.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought you were going to say.
It could be orcs. It could also be the Space Wolves, actually, because they're very well known to be kind of anti-authoritarian for Space Marines.
Okay. Just, you were talking about the TTS thing, and I'm just like, oh, like, the more we talk about this, it sounds very orcish. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah, a little bit. Orcs might take it, like, orcs are very, like, satirical. They're very over the top. Yeah. That's why I love them. But yeah, they might be a bit too over the top for it, but yeah, so you have to make a direct one-to-one comparison.
It is funny because I asked you, so at the top of this thing, you said, they're my favorite clan. Do you know why? And then I asked you who they most resemble, and then you gave me like two of, I think, your pretty top 40K, like Space Marines and like Orcs S factions. Like, I'm pretty sure you like them. I don't know if it's your tastes change over time, but it, a couple of points you have labeled them both your favorites for different things.
Yeah, we'll see the orcs. We're going on a tangent here, but we're just going to go on it because it's fun. I will say my favorite 40K faction, hands down, is the Space Wolves, and it's for the exact reasons you think. Like, it's a big Space Marine werewolf Viking man go brr. Like, that's really all I give a shit about. They're just cool. But then directly below them, it is the Drakari.
Okay.
And part of that has to do with the fact that Drakari really were just my first love in 40K. It was, I don't know if I ever told you this, but the whole reason I got into 40K is because there was this dude in a forum about monster girls that I would desperately seek his attention from, because he did not like me, but I thought he was really cool, and he was into 40K. He played Eldar, and so it was 6th edition at the time. I was like, I'll play Dark Eldar, and he'll think I'm cool, and he didn't. Me and him never ended up being friends, but I just really started liking 40K after I picked up a few models and started painting.
Huh. That's I don't know what the word is, but it's a mixture between rad and sad. It's whatever that is. How old were you? Please say a number lower than 20.
I mean, I was probably around 18. It was like right out of high school.
Okay. Just hitting puberty.
So to quickly go over some mechanical things about Bruja so we can end this out. Their disciplines, as kind of briefly touched on earlier, are potents, which is the ability to be like supernaturally strong, to pick up and throw a dumpster, to throw a punch that could break through a steel door. Celerity gives them super speed to the point where they can just like dodge bullets, or I believe one of the celerity things is like blink, where you literally can just move 200 meters in a single turn, which is fucking insane. And then presence, which means the Bruja enters the room and every human in the room turns and looks at them either in fear or in awe, depending largely on what they want to project, whether they want to be a frightful presence or an awe-inspiring presence. And that largely depends on the kind of crowd they're playing to, because, you know, a more rebellious crowd, they might say, these are my people, and they're going to want to kind of be in charge. Their clan Bane, so they actually have a variant Bane, so there's two of them. Their primary bane is a violent temper. They are quick to anger, and they're very passionate about their ideals, and this causes difficulty tests to resist frenzy to increase for Bruja characters by 2, up to a maximum of 10. At which point you're kind of fucked anyway. If your frenzy test is 10, you're probably not passing it. The variant is just called violence, and it means even if this particular Bruja isn't like as outwardly violent and outwardly passionate and quick to anger, their beast will still be naturally violent. So messy criticals, and this is all messy criticals. It doesn't matter what the role is on. This could be a persuasion role that you get a messy critical on, will be forced to do aggravated damage equal to their bane severity, as well as any other poor results on the hunger dice. Which means you could roll a persuasion roll so bad that you kill a man.
Dang.
You can spend a point of willpower to reduce this to superficial damage, but you are going to do damage.
Dang.
Their clan compulsion is rebellion, and this will cause the Bruja to take a stand against whatever they see as status quo in a situation, whether that is their current leader, a viewpoint that was expressed, or just a task they were given. Until they have gone against orders or expectations, perceived or real, the vampire receives a 2 dice penalty to all rolls, and this doesn't end until they manage to change someone's mind, forcibly if necessary, or do the opposite of what was expected of them.
Yeah, I think you do that in real life.
I do oft do that in real life. I probably would be Clan Bruja, if anything.
I do gotta make a little bit of a callback. I think the first thing you said is whatever their power to like be strong. I do want how many dumpsters can you throw to be the new metric for supernatural
metric
strength.
For strength.
Yeah.
I have a strength score of 10, which means I can throw 1/18th of a dumpster. All right, but that is about our time for today. Zach, do you have any final thoughts or questions you want to ask?
Yeah, my name's not Zach, it's Bartlett, and D20 Dudes totally approves of injecting yourself with pine salt to live.
Just drink a cup full of lithium and water, man. It'll be fine.
Also, don't do those things.
So, thank you everyone for listening this week. If you would like to follow us, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/d20dudes. On Twitter, yes, I'm still calling it Twitter, twitter.com/d20dudes or @d20dudes on Twitter. We got a Discord link down in the description if you want to join the Discord and hang out with us, say hi. We've been playing a shit ton of Barotrauma, so if you're into Barotrauma, that's why this week's episode was late. I could not put down Barotrauma.
Hello.
I cared more about my hijinks with Hildorf. It is an incredibly good game. So, yeah, if you want to play Barrel Trauma with us, hit us up on that Discord. And if you want to support us monetarily, that will be patreon.com/d20dudes. Just $3 a month gets you a shout out like we got for my boy Zam, for my boy Word, for my boy Ken Thomas, and for my 2 boyettes, Molly and Jenny. Y'all are rad. Thank you for supporting the podcast. It's dope. And thank you again. And we're going to roll the D20 and see what next week's episode is going to be about. I have rolled a 14. Now, this one I think is going to be a topic that could be both fun and mildly depressing. Alcohol at the tabletop. Should you drink and is it appropriate?
If their name is Dylan, no, they shouldn't.
So that'll be our topic for next week. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you then. See you later. Bye.
Love you.